mein auf den Supercast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 351. I'm Adam and... You have angered me!
Sorry.
And here's Debbie Melrose.
Come along, Benton.
Mary Lang.
I see you've been doing the TARDIS up a bit. I don't like it.
And I wonder which one he's come up with this week. It's Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
What is this?
Yes, you picked up on the Omega seems to sing his lines like a baritone opera person, doesn't he?
Yes. You have done this.
Master? Actually, I have got my notes from the last time we did this, however long it was.
You lazy sod. I haven't.
What? No,
well, I have notes. Notes too from last time.
You lazy... Anyway, I haven't got no notes because I've seen this so many times.
I have no notes.
So, yes, viewers. Listeners and viewers, we are indeed doing Three Doctors. You were about to say something, Kirby.
Master, yes? I wasn't done.
You weren't done.
I was saying that was the quote I had picked as my top one, and apparently, according to my secondary notes, that's what I used whenever it was we did that recording. That was a long time ago.
Was it? Well, my other quote was, I should have been a god. Mm. I should have been a god!
I've got what is this? Man Friday, I presume. I am Omega, creator of this world. I can also destroy, therefore I must exist.
So do we have to hear all of them, Kirby?
Yes. No, we don't. No.
And then the one which I never would have picked, except if you leave the DVD running on the menu, you get, Holy Moses, what's that?
Yes. Anyway, can we get on?
Seconds, I suppose.
It's the Three Doctors again. Reprised.
I've never seen it.
Three Doctors virgin here on my left. Or your right, depending on which way you're...
My husband and I indulged together, yes.
Pardon?
Exactly what I said.
That's what she said.
That's what she said.
Right, the episode begins with the title sequence and... Then
really?
We have a nice
local yokel.
Picturesque lake. I do like the cinematographicness of this particular scene.
Tom was quite taken with a lot of the special effects, I must say.
So Kirby's trying to do an Andy and distract us with superfluous things. what got me, this weather balloon thing. I googled, Wikipedia'd weather balloons because I wanted to know.
Weather balloons.
Because they were saying.
You wanted to know whether or not it was a balloon?
No, they were saying that by this stage, weather balloons were sort of becoming, you know.
Superfluous, weren't they?
Not used anymore. I can't remember the posture.
Superfluous.
But, is it?
Yes.
All right, yeah, not being used anymore. Anyway, but I remember when I was quite young, looking up in the sky and seeing the odd weather balloon.
I remember seeing them.
No, you don't.
I do actually remember seeing a weather balloon or two.
You're much younger than me, so you wouldn't have done it.
I know, but I did see a weather balloon or two.
Yeah, but I was very little. You wouldn't have been born then.
No, but they still use them now, for heaven's sake.
Really?
Yeah.
No. Anyway, this is weather balloon, so I had to look it up and see... Because I was quite interested in what instruments they would have put, not like just drums or a guitar, what instruments they would have put in it in the early days.
A recorder, yeah, probably.
Anyway, we meet, Mr. Orlis, isn't it, who sort of fiddles around with the...
The local yokel, bless him.
And his cardigan-bearing wife, who then bumps into the Land Rover driving...
And they call him. They call him down to say, we've got your piece of kit.
Yeah, that's right. Because he goes to show him and then he disappears. And then...
good special effect.
And then Rosie's granddad turns up with his moustache and his children hat.
Oh, because he... I see. Because he's Dr. Tyler. Right.
I thought it was Professor Tyler.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway. he gets on the blower and goes, yeah, so I need to get hold of Unit HQ. Yes, I thought Unit was supposed to be a sort of semi-secret.
No, but when you drive up to their institution, there's a sign saying Unit.
This is Unit.
Let's
great big flashing light. Yeah. Secret organisation.
Secret organisation here.
then we cut to the iconic TARDIS in Unit HQ set. They have changed a little bit, but this is one you remember best. When you imagine the TARDIS in the Unit HQ.
Yeah, where's the spiral staircase we've had for so many?
They installed a lift.
It's gone.
Yeah. So anyway,
this was the first unit lab I ever saw.
Where's Yates got?
He wasn't available for the story, but he should.
Okay. He should have been in this.
It's a shame he missed out on.
Yeah, it's unit heavy, and they had to put Benton in it instead. Mm. Yeah. Much as I love Benton, though, he was brilliant in this.
Yes. Right. I've lost my doodah. Right. So, yeah, so they brought the machine back to the Unit HQ lab and are looking at some of these negatives, X-rays, don't they? Mm. Don't know what they're supposed to glean from these particular
loads
images.
Of computer readouts as
I
well.
Love the scene yeah. when he asks Joe to pass him the silicon rod. And
I know, it's the Brigadier. He asks the Brig for the silicon rod and just stirs his tea.
Yeah, then he hands it to Joe, who hands it to the Doctor, who then stirs his tea with it. Love that.
I love that scene.
But things accelerate quite quickly. So once Rose's granddad sort of fiddles around with the machine, and we see a little X-ray of a sort of face, don't we? He disappears, and then this sort of strange sort of CSO
crawling lump thingy.
Yeah. And Kirby's now going to tell me what it was actually in real life. Yes.
Master?
Yes.
It's a feather boa on sticks.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And it's been processed through the chroma key. The why is
color
the
separation the overlay?
Thank you, CSL.
Ding.
So the Doctor then goes to meet Mrs. Ollis with a slightly different hairstyle. I mean, he's got a slightly different hairstyle than the one he had in studio.
Really?
Well, yeah. And then the Joe and the Doctor drive back to this little place where there's a drain.
In fact, Bessie looks like she's got a hood for the top of the car, and they're actually driving along while
Joe's rain.
Holding an umbrella.
In the rain, yeah.
Yeah.
And also, is there a yeah, there's a hood.
Yeah,
so
it looks like there's a hood. Yeah, all rolled back.
It's a bit weird, isn't it? But also,
have we ever seen Bessie with the hood up?
That's true.
Once maybe, I can't remember, but what looked odd, this is obviously shot on film, and you got the CSO creature, the sort of mixture of film and CSO looked a bit strange, and I love the way when it gets a bit angry,
it's a jelly blob,
it goes slightly pixelated when it gets angry. That's quite good. Anyway, Benton's in sort
it,
of.
It looks perfectly fine now. When Benton runs in, master,
when Benton runs in, master,
he says this thing about this explosion in the garage, and they're not in a garage, they're outside when the thing
does
takes...
it. So what do they say about infotext about that then?
They didn't. This is something I noticed.
Okay. Like you say, Bessie gets
I thought
zapped.
He said in the yard. Okay.
Bessie gets zapped. Benton's very smart in this story.
Yeah, he's very well presented, well turned out in this one. He's obviously had his
48 inspection.
hours.
Yes.
Master, one of the reasons, particularly later on when Benton's interacting with a second doctor, one of the reasons he's saying a lot of lines which are distinctly un-Benton-like is that he was given all of Jamie's lines. They had asked Fraser to reprise his role, and he was unavailable because he was at
Emmerdale.
Emmerdale.
Yeah, that would have been so cool.
So when Emmerdale started, with that was...
Oh, that would have been brilliant.
Yes.
Aww.
It's well known fact. We did discuss this last time.
I know, but it would still, you know, having seen it now, you can see how well he would have just fitted into that. That would have been so cool.
Yes, it would. Oh,
jumping on ahead, I also do like the bit when the second doctor's talking to Benton and Benton points out his stripes.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Right.
The great big Christmas
was quite interesting.
Blobs turn up.
What Joe's wearing, that sort of fluffy thing. It reminds me of
Isla's got one like that.
Future episode, future
Is
story.
Is it blue?
Yeah. Yeah, it's blue. It's fluffy.
I'm talking about a completely different thing. I'll just carry on.
A blue fluffy jacket.
Was it Planet of the Daleks? Yeah. I think it was Planet of the Daleks. When we have the invisible creatures, which are purple and fluffy. I thought it was quite an interesting fact.
How do you know when they're invisible?
Cute and
when they're dead, they become visible.
Oh, okay.
Magical
melted. I said they were like magical melted Christmas trees. These
giant jelly babies.
The giant jelly babies. Yeah, melted Christmas trees seems more appropriate with the baubles. And the way they walk is brilliant.
They disappear, don't they? And then they. I suppose
this
they
made it for Tom. He was like, "Oh, proper Doctor Who monsters! I'm staying to watch this one."
So the usual obligatory unit little battle with the creatures they can't beat occurs, and then they the. Benton is dragged in.
I love Benton's reaction.
The changed yet again TARDIS set.
Are you going to say anything about it being bigger on the inside? Well, it's kind of obvious, isn't it? I love that. His face. He's taking it in. All right, fine.
And then part of the wall gets zapped. And then we've switched to Gallifrey, which is not called Gallifrey, obviously.
Base, yeah.
And we meet...
But it will be called Gallifrey very, very soon.
Yes, next series. Thank you, Kirby. And then we have this chap who's in an earlier story.
That guy with a very high-pitched voice.
Well, this chap here was in the War Games. War Games, yes, we know this.
War Games, yes.
And not a very good actor.
Yeah, he was in War Games. He was in War Games.
Not a very good actor.
Yes, he is.
No, he isn't. The way he delivered his lines was ridiculous. Hang on, I'm actually going to turn that audio up.
Yeah.
So as I can talk about when I get to the right spot. Right, hang on.
Then we can find no way to fight back.
No, to listen.
Are you telling me we're up against an adversary, a force equal to our own?
Equal and opposite to our own.
A force which inhabits a universe where by definition even we cannot exist?
Yes. A force.
Yes, that bit there I thought was
appalling.
Even
we cannot exist.
You can't transgress the first law of time. But they do it all the time anyway.
I love that. Yes. When he says later, you can't do it as well. We can.
Master?
Yes.
I guess one of the reasons why I have no objections to it is that I can find no flaws in this story.
Well, if you look down, it's there.
It is so perfect. I know that.
It's there. You're sitting on it or standing on it. Right, look where your feet are.
What episode is that the clips from? The ones of Patrick Troughton and William Hartnell?
They filmed them
special for this. I love this story so much, I cannot criticize the actors.
Well, I'm criticising him.
We had a problem because we were watching it on Daily Motion. Yes, we had the French translation on because that was I knew what was coming.
There's so many versions on Daily Motion. Yeah. I just wonder why you picked the French one.
You're intellectual and probably can speak French, can't
Tom
you?
Tom can. And I can read it better than I can speak it.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, we had every 5 minutes, 4 to 5 minutes, adverts. So it took about three times as long to watch the whole thing. But we still enjoyed it.
There are ways of pulling things off of Daily Motion.
That's what she said.
Yeah, it all depends on what version you watch as to whether you get a bunch of ads.
Yeah, no, we went through quite a few, and eventually it was like, do you know what, I'm just going to keep looking.
One of these days, I'm going to get the anniversary edition of this DVD. I've got the original DVD.
Tidy up a bit.
Yeah, did you see Billy's post where he was watching it as well? He posted up the picture of that, the DVD. Yeah,
that reminded me that that's not my DVD. And we had discussed last time, we were discussing the infotext and stuff, and they redid the infotext. So there's stuff in mine that's not in his or whoever. I think it was
the earliest
Robert
release.
Been watching the other version last time.
Earliest release. Anyway, right, so a recorder appears on the dashboard. Dashboard on the console.
Dashboard.
The time rotor.
And then the...
thank you. Arm appears.
Rather marvellously and wonderfully, the Second Doctor appears. And it's so wonderful seeing him looking like this.
Fantastic, wasn't it?
He still looked exactly the same as he did. And it's not that long ago for us that we were watching
his
story.
They bicker as well. Oh, dear, you are in trouble, aren't you?
He missed him so much.
As soon as he started talking, I was just like,
at the time, when if you were an actual Doctor Who fan, watching him come back into it, it really did the sort of acknowledge the black and white era of Doctor Who beautifully. Yes, which
it would have been interesting to have everything else in color and had him there in black and white.
Something's just come through.
Well, they did do that for the two Doctors. They started the two Doctors out in black and white.
Okay. Oh yes, they did. Yeah. Right.
Have you seen the size of that thing?
Of course, then we go for all these brilliant scenes of he is me and I
am me. He is him. Contact. I can tell you what's going on.
And we are all together. Goo 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 goo. Oh, it's a song by the Beatles. Yeah. Oh, is it? How's it go?
Yeah, it's a lovely stuff ready to play. Yeah.
Mm. So, yeah, sorry, I just haven't...
And like the way that Benton also says, you know, believe me, Miss Grant, it's really the Doctor.
What gets me is how long it takes Benton to notice that he's there and all this stuff going on. He just, oh, Doctor, about half an hour after he's arrived.
I do like the fact that the Brigadier says at some point, you never know when you're well off, do you, as he walks off.
Yeah, it's usually the other way around. It's usually the Doctor saying stuff like that about the Brigadier.
The Brigadier won it for Tom. He was like, I think I see why you love the Brig so much. I was like... Now you realise.
So they decide that because the two doctors are sort of bickering, they send the other one down.
He'll sort them out.
And that scene you're talking what about, it was get... shot for the episode.
Okay. Yeah, what does he get stuck in? A time eddy. That was it, yeah.
A little box,
that was
basically.
Lovely. Time eddy.
And it does, actually, you know,
if the box had been bigger, it would have been a time Edward.
Anyway, he's still
looking. Ching.
It looks like the first Doctor, doesn't he? That's nice.
Yeah. It's great. He's looking. He doesn't look very.
Doesn't look too old, doesn't, does he?
Kirby made himself laugh.
Yeah, yeah. It's the only person who's going to make laugh. And that's essentially the end of episode one. Because
yeah, unfortunately, the first Doctor does not look like he did.
He looks like William Hartnell.
He looks like William Hartnell.
He is William Hartnell, isn't he?
Exactly, that's what I'm trying to say. Unlike all the other Doctors, people have played the first Doctor, and at least even though he looks poorly and he looks whatever, he still is William Hartnell. Even though he's reading
what
his lines
a voice
off
certain as
book,
well. What a voice as well.
It's quite good considering, you know, where he was able to deliver those lines in the way he did. And the way you could, like I say, even though he was reading them off various corners of his box. So what I would say, the Doctor runs out to get zapped by the creature, and Joe runs out and gets zapped as well, which therefore leaves the second Doctor and Benton to
mollify
and allow us to have
monster.
Those scenes with the confused Brigadier.
Yes, is this some trick? Is this what you've been spending your unit money on?
This is where we meet the Brigadier that we're not familiar with, the unaccepting of what's in front of his eyes Brigadier, which is not like him at all. But
it is a bit odd, isn't it? Yeah, because he's like, no, I've seen too much. I'm not going to do this anymore.
But for the fact this is a comedy, sort of comedy story, probably the first proper comedy story we've ever had, it works okay and it's acceptable. But they should try and be a bit more consistent with the character. I love the shot of the black hole with the sort of stuff coming out of it. I love the way they think the black hole was sort of strange shape like that. But being a black hole, I would have thought it'd be sort of round. Because
I think it's supposed to be a representation of the tear or something. It's supposed to like be a hole shot.
It's okay. I'm not
bothered
by it.
It looks like a bullet hole.
Professor Stephen Hawking wasn't as well known in this particular part of history than he is now.
Oh, look, it's Mary's kitty.
And... Mary's gone off to make me a cup of tea. I've just had one, thanks, Mary. I love their little note papers around, and they've all got just normal notes scribbled on them.
Yeah.
Have you seen them? Did you see those?
No, yes, no. They're circular. I like the fact they're circular. Like with Battlestar Galactica, they've got the corners cut off.
They've all
off,
got, like,
right,
it's probably their lines. It's probably they've got written on them. Or maybe it's William Hartnell's lines.
And they're all different. Are they different colours? Yes, they are. Yeah, they're all different colours.
And the beginnings of the shoulder pads coming in as well. For the
cloaks.
Time Lord
cloaks.
And the very cool plastic chairs.
Okay.
Not cakes.
And it's quite interesting also, the hairstyles. They're trying to make them a bit John Pertwee-ish as well. You notice this?
Yes. Sort of.
Because that is not his natural hair, this bloke. Look, you can tell it's all sort of stuck onto his head.
The syrup,
Oh, which guy? The one who can't act bloke. That one. The one who was in the War Games, his hair did not look natural.
Clyde Pollitt.
Thank you. Anyway, the Doctor and Joe wake up, and Joe's convinced she's dead, which I do love the way she plays this. This is Katie Manning.
I cheered when I realised they were in a quarry. It's like, yay, quarry!
Am I dead? This is probably the quarry that they filmed the most of classic Doctor Who in. They would move all around... various quarries. I don't have the name of the quarry in front of me, but this is also the quarry that the Seventh Doctor story, Delton Bannerman scene, where the bam, 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 bam of the running of the of Delta.
Hang on. My dick's done a funny smell. He's suddenly got to come over here, which normally means he's done something.
He's been sat here the whole time.
No, he's knocked the door open.
You smelly bottom mugwump.
He's obviously opened the back door, gone outside, done something, come back here.
Magic, can you move out of the way?
Go on, Magic. Smelly mugwump. Go on.
Sorry, you've had to do a poo, as long as you don't do it in the house. Lie there. Hobbling. So him hobbling.
Oh, it's all right, darling.
Oh, stop it. Anyway.
Oh, okay. They did the infotext just said it was the Harwell Limeworks.
Harwell Limeworks.
Hope you didn't come over these pointless facts last time we reviewed
Spring,
this episode.
Springwell
Otherwise,
Quarry.
People who listen to every episode of the show will be starting to yawn by now. Andy, mainly. Oh, right.
She's got Queen Elizabeth II mug, Mary. Very nice.
Anniversary mug.
I've got one of them. I've got one almost exactly like that one. Hang on.
Sorry, anybody that's listening, we're waving our mugs about.
For the people,
people who are watching. Biggest mug in the universe.
Queen's anniversary. Mm-hmm.
It's not exactly the same.
Aww.
But it's quite similar. Look.
Oh, I can't see it at all. There's a lot of glare
There's
on it.
There's a lot of glare on it. Yeah. Hang on, let me show.
I'll do it. What are you doing?
I'm just changing
the
glare.
I was saying not exactly. Look at mine and look at yours.
They're the same.
That's amazing. They're the same on opposite sides of the ocean.
I must admit, I've still got my William and Kate's wedding day teacup and saucer.
I've got my Charles and Diana one I got given. I was
watching the royal wedding and drinking tea and eating biscuits.
Yes.
Master, I've got the information out. It's Harefield Limeworks, Springwell Quarry, Springwell Lane, Rickmansworth.
Joy. Anyway, what I liked about this particular scene was Jo's sort of eyes when she looks at the doctor. We're dead, aren't we? With his great big eyes. Considering now she's got a big mouth.
Yeah.
Then she had big eyes. Not
actually,
right, no.
Actually, look at her. Her mouth has not really changed. It's just the hairstyle.
Her face has shrunk around it. Yes.
And she did this whole business. We just saw her do this whole business of we're dead in the last story.
Oh yeah, she loves like dead. It. She must
Magic,
love dead.
Settle down. What's the matter with you, stupid pointy-eared twit?
Sorry.
What? Anyway, one of the jelly babies wanders up and goes, bree, 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 bree. He's just reporting information back to Omega, who we haven't met yet, obviously.
Omega! And,
Master. Yes. This quarry was in the Twin Dilemma, and where it was Titan III, and it was the Chimeran planet.
Right. Let me make this quite clear. Any more mentions of this quarry, the next person that does so will have 2 points deducted.
Alan T. Butcher says, superfluous certainly for weather, but this was a cosmic ray detector regarding our weather balloon. And Ashley Hughes says, hello.
Hello. Oh, that's on blooming Wi-Fi.
Sorry.
It is on Wi-Fi.
Yeah. No,
what did you say sorry for then?
I thought you said hope is not on Wi-Fi. I misheard, sorry. Carry on.
Anyway, the doctor's braces, the same braces he had in, I think it was Moon Base? Well, there's certainly certain braces he used while playing the doctor, so I was quite pleased to see that. I hadn't noticed that, obviously, now we've been doing the journey, and I didn't pick up on that.
I was a little concerned about how obsessed he was about his recorder, because you knew it was going to become a focal point towards the end of the story, but he just kept
like
going on about it.
He did like it. Ooh. In fact, he liked it more than I remembered until we did the journey. I wasn't that... You know, I always thought of the Second Doctor as a recorder, but thought, well, they go on about the recorder. You never really have it that much. But if you watch all the stories,
he's playing it every time, and Jamie's getting more and more annoyed. Yeah. Yes.
I love the fact we're in this quarry, and we see parts of Unit HQ scattered around the place. Yes.
Master?
Nearly got to the next scene, yes.
Can you deduct 2 points from yourself?
You mentioned the quarry.
Yeah, but that's not in the same context as you were mentioning. I'm also mentioning the quarry as part of the actual... scenery. You're going back and saying exactly where it is, what postcode is, and whatever. This is part of the story. And I'm not in the quiz anyway, so you can't deduct points from me. So, right. I love the water machine.
The water
cooler
that went.
Didn't even know they had one of them in the 1970s. And I just love the fact they're walking around there and you see all these bits that we've just seen in studio. Just scattered
Master.
Around.
Oh,
Bessie. God.
Yes, it's a quarry. We know where it is.
No.
It's been used in several Doctor Who stories.
Master.
Yes.
That's not a computer. It's a tape drive.
Right. And they find Bessie and they decide to drive Bessie away from the very fast moving jelly baby.
Master. Okay, where did we last see Bessie?
In a sort of...
In the unit yard.
In the rain. Well, here, somehow the tires have been all covered in rock dust. Oh, it's been driven here instead of materialized here.
Were there anything, some of that might have blown onto the tires while it was parked?
You are so picky.
And we see the Mr. Ollis, who looks a little bit like Donald Trump with his hairdo. He's got a similar sort of Donald Trump barnet, isn't he? Who seems to have a shotgun glued to his hands because he doesn't
let go of it, does he? No, not letting go of that. That might disappear like he did,
And then the second Doctor and Benson rig up a machine to try and keep the strange creature at bay. And I love the way he says, I'll leave you that then, Benson. Just press that button if he gets it a bit excited. And of course, it gets excited.
What happens if he gets really excited? Give him all he's got. Doctor!
And that leads to them all having to run into the TARDIS. And the Brigadier's reaction to being in the TARDIS. Now, this scene here of the Brigadier looking all confused, they used that when in Morgan Undead, when he was starting to remember his past encounters with the Doctor.
Oh, yes!
Mm-hmm. So they used that scene a little bit in there. This is where
this is what you've been doing with all the unit's money.
Just
what
the Doctor offers the Brigadier a jelly baby.
I know. Care for a jelly baby.
But then this again, he's not quite the Brigadier in these scenes because he's the Doctor has a TARDIS. He knows he's travelled around.
And he knows the Doctor's a different person and everything. He just doesn't accept this at all.
He would just go in there how I would expect the Brigadier to be and say, oh, that's how you fit everything in here.
Yes, I did wonder where it was coming from, Doctor. Now I know your secret.
And also the funny thing was, in the last story, we had the monitor as one of the little round doors, and now it's a proper TV set that looks like they've got in a car boot sale somewhere.
It doesn't work.
It's what it was back in the First Doctor's
It was,
time.
But they went from that to using the round or back to using the TV.
If you look behind it, it looks like there's teleporters behind it as well. Look at the way they've moved the roundels on the top. It does look
Did you hear what's got me? Did you hear, and this is later on in the story because I don't want to forget it, when they had the singularity thingy where they, you know, the thing they were being transported back on.
Oh, yeah.
You could hear the engines of the fans. And Star just flapped her ears just to make her impression of the engines, although the listeners probably wouldn't have been able to hear that. Right, hang on.
Look at that tail going.
She's a
I want to play.
Leave her alone. Right, so then Rosie's granddad is, we find him wandering around the planet's surface. And
he's doing maths in the sand.
And they bump into Joe and the Doctor and Omega. Here we go.
A real time lord in my power.
And Brigadier demands to be let out of the TARDIS. And
You've shifted on to episode 3.
No, we're still on episode 2 because he's bickering about being in the TARDIS.
So the jelly baby creatures bring the Doctor, Tyler,
his radio
and
doesn't
Joe
work.
To the headquarters of
The jelly baby creatures in the jelly baby corridors. You wonder why they don't stick to the walls.
I think they're more baubles than jelly babies. They look like melted Christmas trees.
Wow.
I like
what did, that. What did are they, one of the soldiers did call it a jelly sort of creature, didn't they? So I'm going to stick with jelly baby. Sorry, Mary, were you going to say something?
Gelatinous, he said.
No? Okay. Right, so, Tyler was told to stay put, so he blatantly, obviously, runs off, followed by a jelly baby. And
he comes straight back again.
They bounce him straight back again. Meanwhile,
Love the way the second Doctor here fixes the radio, because the Brig looks at him like, well, of course it didn't work, and he just bangs it on the console and gives it to...
He must be Fonzie.
Hey.
And, and then the third Doctor appears on the TV screen and
gives them a bit of advice.
And the Brigadier says, who's that? And he says, if I told you, you wouldn't believe me. So. And the Doctor does a bit of conjuring, doesn't he? Shazam! Shazam!
Shazam!
So the flowers appear. Probably would want to perk to his own tricks. That
I'm sure what point he was trying to make there. But
yeah, what was the point?
Doing the conjuring.
No, he's trying to prove that what that everybody was seeing there was a conjuring trick, basically. The whole world they were on was a conjuring trick. That's what the point he was trying to make, but made it a bit sort of obvious when so as he could do one of his things, he did his cabaret act things that Gertrude right. used to
chance
do.
Chance to show off.
And then the whole of Unit HQ goes into the black hole.
Master? When there must be some sort of odd things that Omega can do when he's transporting Unit HQ, because after Unit HQ disappears, the grass has grown underneath it where it was.
God.
Instantaneously.
And that's what doesn't make sense in this story?
That's the only thing.
It's a science fiction fantasy TV show.
I don't have any problem with it. I'm just observing.
He wasn't shouting at you, mate.
Yes, I was.
No.
I will say again, I have no problems whatsoever with any aspect of this story. Fans in little singularities, jelly baby monsters, whatever. I love this story.
I love the skirts.
For somebody who hasn't got a problem with any of all this stuff, he's certainly going on about loads of little bits of detail, isn't he?
Little bits.
I haven't got any problems with this whatsoever. No, apart from this, and apart from the quarry.
He's looking for problems. That's all. He's looking for problems.
It's just me. That's what I do.
Is it? It's the first time you've ever done it, Kirby. Anyway, right.
For you, Kirby.
Oi, you're not coughing blooming tea all over my keyboard.
I'm
sorry
not to.
You just sit there and let everybody talk around you.
Anyway, right. So the doctor, where's he going? Sit down. Sit.
It's all right, Magic. You're a good dog.
Yes, Magic. Put that book away. Right. It certainly doesn't work in an audio presentation. Kirby showing a picture of the Three Doctors novel written by Terence Dick.
It's in good nick.
It's very good nick. You might have to sell a lot on eBay for a very lot of money. That's
a very lot of money indeed.
I bought this probably at the same convention where I first saw the Three Doctors in 1980.
Right, I'd like to apologise to Mary, who wants to get on with things. Right, right.
Yeah,
so
please.
The Doctor.
Yeah, this
Joe
is a 1980 edition.
Are you rethinking this?
The Doctor, Joe, and Tyler go to meet Omega,
who's never ever taken his helmet off because he's so surprised about what happens when he does.
Yeah, he doesn't know yet. No. Just wants to do the. He wants to be the part in his big frock. We find about Omega and what he can. The whole world is willed up by his mind and stuff like that. His mind. Sorry, I'll just go. And even he's got a TV screen.
He's got a lovely little telly, isn't he? Yeah. You'd think if he was willing this world into existence, he'd have a bigger TV.
Yeah, maybe like a 42-inch Sony. And yeah.
The thing is they've got the very 3D nice screen on Gallifrey. It's huge. Yes. Why couldn't they do the same thing?
Yes. Well, maybe he didn't quite have the will to do it.
Oh!
Yes. Anyway, right. So the Doctor and Omega have a little discussion about the Time Lords and how he ended up where he was, and the Doctor saying that
you're a legend.
He really looked up to him and blah, 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 and he magics up a chair for him to sit on, because Pertu's legs and back were starting to ache at this point, because he really needed a chair. Sorry to keep you up, Kirby. And what's that little blue, that little pink thing? What's that then?
It looked like a giant marshmallow in it.
Yeah, what's that? What's that supposed to be depicting?
I think that's another picture.
There's, I don't know what it is.
Is it Joe? No, it's the Doctor.
I'm curious to see they're just looking through some pink thing, and the Doctor and then they're going behind. I don't remember seeing that.
is that relevant?
Is that pink thing? Oh, well, they're just looking through at this pink thing.
Sorry about that, Mary. Anyway, yeah. So and then
they do that wonderful jump to show they've landed.
Yeah, the Unit HQ. great bit of editing there. And he goes, the Doctor there. Sorry, the Brigadier. That's what I was thinking, actually. Talk about the Master. The opportunity. They should have had the Master in this story. It would have been so good and funny to have Delgado interacting with both these Doctors and stuff. Sorry to keep you up, Kirby, but it's probably a little bit too much fun. I love the Brigadier. He says, have a look outside. Oh, it's like, what's going on? There's a sandy beach there. What's going on? And he just won't accept it.
Well, he, no. Nope.
I'm no. quite sure that's Kroger.
Yes, it's Norfolk, isn't it? Yes.
And, where is Kroger?
Norfolk, we just said that. Oh, my God.
Where is Norfolk?
Norfolk?
Well, that's another thing on the what Americans can't pronounce properly thing. Oh, here's my thing for what American. There we are. Norfolk.
It's number 19.
Norfolk. Hang on. I can't even spell it. Norfolk. F-O-L-K. I know how to. It says I'm trying to multitask.
As it's...
Norfolk. Is that how they said? Norfolk or Norfolk?
No, there's a Norfolk, Virginia, and we say Norfolk.
Pardon?
What?
Norfolk.
You do, maybe.
That's how it was phonetically pronounced, isn't it? Norfolk.
Norfolk, yes.
There you go. Thank you. Right, back to the Doctor episode we're trying to talk about.
Maybe God double L that one.
Yeah, it has to be phonetic, so people say. Anyway, so, yeah, Ollis becomes a member of UNIT temporarily. Ollis. Consider yourself under my command.
Yes.
I would have said, bugger off, Brigadier.
I've been doing just fine by myself. Yeah. Thank you very much,
That worked quite well, the painted-on sort of entrance to Omega's... the door's a bit big, bigger than it needed to be.
Yes, fair. Yeah, but the TV is making up
master,
for it.
Master.
Uh-oh, here we go.
It's not painted on. It's the door of the mine. It's a hanging miniature. It's real doors, but they're small. They're a few inches high, hanging very close to the camera.
Really? Yeah,
I thought it might have been something on it's, that.
They use the same technique in like the first in the second there. Ronnie.
That's
story.
Definitely not there. I know what you're saying.
No, but yeah.
Yeah, well, it's very cleverly done. Mm. And yes. I accept that they couldn't have done it any other way, especially the fact you see the doors close. The doors are a lot bigger than they need to be.
Yes.
Closed.
Yes.
Yeah, so that way...
It's compensating for something.
This leads to the second Doctor wandering in and the third Doctor trying to make out that it's some bumbling fool.
It's his associate, yes.
Could it be another Time Lord?
And then he goes, oh,
perhaps
the same Time Lord.
Is that some sort of speech impediment? That sort of singing
No,
your
I
lines?
Think he was dramatic. He was told
to
be dramatic.
Do you have to, when you're being undramatic, I talk
because
like that?
No, but you don't have a whacking great mask over
you. Oh,
you
don't
to
have to sing it. A great mask on your blimmy
well, you
head.
Kind of have to try and add some dramatic emphasis.
I'm not being funny, right? But it's David right, Banks magic. Played the cyber leader for many years, Doctor Who, and he had to be dramatic. He didn't go, excellent, did he?
Daily.
Anyway. He went, oh, there was. That reminds me of another thing. No, it was, what's it? That came something else. I'll try and remember it later.
You will be upgraded.
No, I know,
but I'm just saying how
just
it
reminded
would be
me
funny.
Of something. Another thing, that cartoon, a Disney cartoon, Ariel, the Little Mermaid.
Little Mermaid.
There's a bit in where King Triton goes, Ariel. So that's where, obviously, the bloke who did, obviously, watched the three doctors. I'm going to do Omega voice
from Omega.
While doing King Triton. Yeah. It's gone right over Kirby's head, that. Look, he's picking his nose now because he's back.
I can't take mine because we're going out live.
Hans Christian Andersen. Right, anyway, so they obviously, he then realises that there's two doctors there. And
he can use them.
He then bumps them into another cell and Joe says, oh, you can magic up a door. You're two Time Lords. He's just the one. Okay, well, why haven't I done that before then?
Contact.
And why haven't they done it since, for that matter?
And then all these feathers appear around their eyes.
Yes.
There's you know what I'm 14 referencing.
14 of them now. Could have
no.
Been. No, go on quickly, Kirby.
You'll find out when we first run across K-9.
Okay.
Contact has been made.
Oh, yes. Okay, fair enough. With the prawn, yeah, I remember that. All right. Yeah, so they magic up a door and they all leg out through the door. And that doesn't particularly impress Omega. And they get to a point where who's going to go first? And the second Doctor flips a coin with a... Third Doctor captain said, I know it's going to be me, I'm going in anyway, because I'm the actual current Doctor, so it's got to be me.
Yeah, it's got to be the current Doctor, yeah.
And then we come up with the fan and the
But it's quite a good little a special effect, really, because that is actually smoke going up through the floor, and it works quite well for the scene. I don't think it would work, actually. Obviously, wouldn't be able to actually take people out of an antimatter universe into a matter universe, to be fair, but...
It'd be like turning you inside
kaboom!
Out.
Kaboom!
Yeah.
Omega, yes.
And now, Omega's a bit cross, so he's decides to have a battle of wills with the Doctor, who he accepts. Meanwhile, the others are trying to sort of either get away and just running around for the sake of it. First Doctor is sent through. They have got hardly any power.
Yes.
They didn't have enough power to get him out of his time, Eddie, yet they've got enough power to send him through to the other universe, but only in his time, Eddie thingy, his little box. Yeah, fine.
Little
couldn't
triangle.
Do much about it because he wasn't well enough to do it. But, you know, they had to think of something. And thank God they did, otherwise we wouldn't have had William Hartnell in this story. Yeah, and then that's a very strange one. Why did that monster look like that?
I wondered if it wasn't Omega. I thought it was. You know, because
Omega's will looks different to Omega.
What
am I saying, Omega? Omega!
Omega! I said that a minute ago.
I just wondered if it was him when I was watching this. As you said, it was a battle of wills, so this is obviously what his will represents.
We did see a bit of John Pertwee's eyes going a bit crossed in traditional Pertwee style when he was just about to kill him.
If it's a battle of wills, that means that John Pertwee changed his name to Will.
I knew that was coming. Oh, God. How many points has he had deducted so far?
I don't know.
God, I had none deducted.
So episode 4 begins with the second Doctor.
The battle of wills.
The second Doctor saving the third Doctor's life by stopping Omega from killing
him
because he needs him.
Bessie with the curiously
sandy tires.
Yeah,
how many people got into Bessie then?
Five. Yeah.
Health and safety issues there. Nobody put
was
the seatbelt on.
Is that the clock?
Yeah.
Awesome.
We're allowed the door open.
We do have a clock, Kirby. And it's very annoying when it goes off at 6 o'clock in the morning when I'm just in a nice deep sleep. And yes, I can hear it up in the bedroom. Right, so the Doctor and the Doctor again sort of have a little bit of a conflag with Omega, who says, right, I've got all this power, blah, 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 but it is not enough. So take off my mask.
Yeah, my mask.
Yes. And
look at where they open it up and goes,
It's good scared acting by both of these fine actors, but it wasn't that scary,
It's the creak as the mask goes up.
It wasn't that scary to see nothing in there, was it? It was not like something like when in Caves of Androzani, when Shara's Jek's mask gets torn off. That was a little bit scary.
Mm.
Not majorly, but,
I was hoping for something a little bit more... I know they're making a point, obviously, you know, it's only his will that is there, it's not him anymore.
He didn't undo his flat trousers. Mary's trying not to
laugh.
Thanks. Mary's trying not to laugh. Go on.
Trying to make Mary laugh.
Why not?
I thought it might have been better if it had been like almost a skeleton, just really wasted away.
Yeah, I think,
you know,
Mary Whitehouse might have got a bit cross.
Oh, okay.
she was
take off my mask!
You weren't allowed to do anything like that with Mary Whitehouse around.
No. And there's nothing. It was well done, but...
And to give her due, I mean, there's no limits to TV now, and I think in some ways it was quite good that TV did have certain limits to what you could actually show. But
Well, things I don't like seeing on TV are people throwing up.
That's one of my
worst things. I don't like seeing that. I don't see why that is now on an advert on our TV channel.
I do like Big Brother. I do watch it. I'm sort of quite loyal to it. But there's things about it now that irritate me. What they're always using the C word, the F word, whatever. When Big Brother first started, it was all about back to basics and stuff like that. And the people they were just normal people. But they have to insist, apart from when it's Celebrity Big Brother, they have to insist on putting these young, good-looking people, because they're trying to copy Love Island or whatever. And for me, just clean things up a bit. There's no need to have all this swearing. It's not... I know they do it, bleep it out. Doesn't bother me to that degree. I just think it's now this day and age, we can just swear and say whatever word we like and just broadcast it because it's after 9 p.m. Got to have limits, in my view. Back to Doctor Who. Omega gets a bit cross.
They wind Omega up, don't they?
Yeah, it gets a bit cross. And the Doctor and the Doctor leg it quite a long way to the TARDIS.
They go back to Unit HQ because that's where the brig decided to take them.
Unit HQ that's
part of
on the
Unit
planet,
HQ,
the part of it
yes,
where the
yeah.
TARDIS is.
I like the way he said, "Go back to Unit HQ. It's closer than you think."
Yes. And then I think it's the Doctor then
The brig got a lot of the good lines in this.
Yeah, because they're basically trapped in the TARDIS until the First Doctor comes up with another little bit of advice.
Mm-hmm.
Were you about to say something, Kirby?
No.
Oh, good. And they do a three-way contact thingy. And then they find the recorder stuck in the middle of the core of the force field. Yes, Kirby?
I said contact has been made.
Okay. And the second Doctor is just about to grab it, and the third Doctor says, No, don't do that.
Don't do it. Leave it there.
And don't you see? This is what we need. So they persuade Omega to take them back to his domain and offer him a way out, which is essentially the force field with the recorder in it, and he gets across, gets petulant and knocks the recorder.
And
which would have instantly destroyed everything in a touch, but they had enough time to run back into the TARDIS.
Quick, run!
Before everything very slowly blew up. But before that, they said, "Omo, can we send everybody back to Earth, etc." So that's what happens. And that's where we get the famous line when the Brigadier says, "Wonderful fellows, both of you," which changed slightly as time went on.
For the five Doctors.
Yeah, and then changed again. Every time he was on there with a multiple Doctor story, he'd say a slightly different version.
All of them.
Yeah. And then the black hole blows up, leaving a sort of fairly good version of a supernova effect. Quite good. And the Time Lords get their power back. And Doctors and everybody else returns to where they left off. And I love the scene right at the end when Aurelius gets told off by his missus. It reminded myself, actually.
No.
I've been in lots of instances like that when she and Miss Bea Bates told me off for being slightly late, and I haven't been able to give a suitable explanation for it. And then we have a goodbye from all the Doctors and stuff. And
aww.
It was quite sad, really, because that's the last time we see William Hartnell on screen. And I don't know what his last line was. We should have made note of that. The Doctor, then, is forgiven.
That says live, apparently. Black screen.
Oh, dear. The Doctor is therefore forgiven of his misdemeanours and gets some memories, his memories back, his knowledge of time travel.
Yeah, gets
and,
a little bit that he needs.
Essentially his freedom.
Yeah.
And like I say, Oz gets told off by
a dematerialization circuit, which is larger than the one that Missy was carrying around.
Yes, yeah. So she's got a different one, like I said.
Right, hang on, so I'm just going to inspect the Facebook.
The live feed, which doesn't seem to be... Oh, it's on
there.
Okay.
Depends what...
Why is it only black there? Okay.
This is my one. I'm seeing to be... Oh, is that on yours? Or
it was on mine, so I was trying to have a look.
What network are you on? Oh, you're on mine. Don't stream them in video when we're trying...
I was seeing what comments are coming through.
Oh, I'll tell you what comments are coming through. Superfluous, nothing. Certainly, for weather, but other sound tea, but there should be some more comments.
No more comments.
That's the same ones.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's probably quite useful. All right, now, I'll tell you what I think of the story. Oh, it's the three Doctors. It's one of the best things ever. As I've probably said countless times, I could watch this story over and over again just for the fun of it. It's just so wonderful to see Patrick Troughton on screen. It's not great story-wise. Writing and stuff, it's not good. But it's just a joy to see. It's a bit pantomimey as well, isn't it?
It was very
Americans
pantomimey.
Americans won't understand pantomime, but...
I don't understand.
But pantomime villainy, that's Omega, but...
I know that, but I've never seen an actual... I wonder if there's a pantomime on YouTube that someone's
Must
filmed.
Must be, there's
I
loads.
I can actually see what's going on.
There's loads.
When you say
it's
that.
Behind
Well, when you,
you
come over to Britain, make sure you come over to Britain between December and February, then you'll be able to go to
Obviously, we all know what a pantomime horse is and stuff like that, but I've never actually seen a pantomime.
Anyway, back to Doctor Who. Yes, this is, despite its flaws, one of the best Doctor Who things. I say stories because the story's not correct. It's just absolutely wonderful. Just see Troughton on screen with the third Doctor. Just see William Hartnell there again. Everything in colour. It's so much fun. Sometimes it doesn't matter if the story isn't that good when what you see on the screen is so much fun. It's brilliant. I know other people are going to disagree with me, but I can't fault the three Doctors. It's one of my favourite things of all time with Doctor Who. Sorry, but it is. Well, hang on.
Let me be next, this person here hasn't seen
it before.
Because,
Oh, go on then, Kirby.
Go on, Kirby.
Well, because the reason I want to be next is because Debbie's not seen it before, and then we always have Mary last.
I better get my... while you're doing that, then I better get my jingle folder up now.
And I don't remember what she said about it last time. Anyway.
I don't remember either.
October 25th, 1980. I was at WindyCon 7 in Chicago.
WindyCon? Is that where everybody had a bit of flatulence or what?
Windy City, Chicago.
Sorry.
WindyCon.
Okay, sorry.
Chicago's called Windy City for a good reason.
Oh, I see.
Anyway,
Chicago.
It was my ninth science fiction convention, and we were I had discovered Doctor Who by this point. We'd formed a Doctor Who club at my university called – I was going to the Northern Illinois University, so we formed UNIT, the United Northern Illinois Time Lords. This is 37 years ago. Good grief.
Is it still going?
Anyway,
I was only little.
Anyway, we
I was two.
We all gathered together and put together a string of at least five VCRs because someone had a tape of their favorite Doctor Who stories. And I sat there for hours and hours and hours, and we also watched the first episode of Blake 7 I've ever seen. I don't even remember what episode it was. But I saw an unearthly child. What is the story? Darn. The Sarah Jane's first story.
Sarah Jane's first story.
Huh?
Yeah, Sarah Jane's first story.
Oh, that would be the Sarah Time Jane's Monster. Time Warrior.
Time Warrior. Yeah, I was caught on Time Monster because we just did that. The Three Doctors and Destiny of the Daleks. All of these in one afternoon going into the evening, and just absolutely fell in love with other things other than Tom Baker because that's all I'd seen at that point. So I saw First Doctor, Second Doctor, and Third Doctor all for the first time. October 25th, 1980. I absolutely loved the Three Doctors from the first instant I saw it. Just, I didn't care about the cheesy parts, the silly parts. It was just so much fun. It reinforced my love of Doctor Who. Just simple as that.
I will say that after watching all the episodes in order, it does rather enhance the fun from what we've seen, you know, in the last couple of years. This story, you know, it just enhances the fun you get out of it. For me personally, anyway.
Master, I posted earlier this week a picture of my 1980 calendar showing that I've watched these. Yes, I keep stuff like this.
It's cool.
I'm glad you got room.
If I had more room, I'd keep stuff like that.
So would I.
Mm.
I've got a cupboard.
And
I
also made a note on there. This is 1980. I made a note in my calendar in July of 1981 that Harrison Ford was at that WindyCon and no one knew he was there. What had happened was he was in town. He had heard about science fiction convention. He didn't want to be recognized or anything. He asked the convention organizers just to let him through, and he was being escorted by one of the security personnel. He wasn't recognized because he was walking around the convention dressed kind of scruffy looking with a with a few days growth of beard and a fedora. This was 1980, before
Indiana Jones.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
I was going to say, she wears fedora.
Fedora. It's like, there you go, bit of a shave. There you are.
I remember seeing I was walking through the dealer's room. I remember seeing him and thinking, that man looks kind of familiar. And the security people are with him, but I don't know what's going on.
It was Harrison Ford.
It was Harrison Ford.
Anyway, have you finished?
That's also the convention where I met Douglas Adams and got his autograph.
Wow. Cool.
That's impressed her.
Yeah, very much.
Right, I'll tell you when to move on now.
Go ahead.
Go on, Debbie, go on.
Okay, well, I thought it was rollickingly good fun. Enjoyed it, but I didn't like the way the Brig was written so well. I just felt he wasn't... He was a bit too, as we've discussed, not going to see that, not going to see that, not going to see that. What he's blamed other people for in the past, being blinkered, he was suddenly being blinkered. But I think it might have just been that they wanted to show that the brig had reached a line that he just could not cross regardless. I mean, he still dealt with the situation as best as he could, but the logic that normally helps him was gone. So I understand that, but I just felt it wasn't right. And as you said, like with Benton coming up with lines that were obviously meant for Jamie and things like that, everyone in unit was slightly out of character, but I really thought it was fun. It was Omega was a brilliant pantomime villain.
Omega
was a brilliant pantomime villain, and Joe was her usual self of throwing herself around the Doctor as much as possible and getting into trouble and getting out of trouble and getting into trouble again.
Showing off her panties.
Yeah, all that. That happened a couple of times. Yeah, no, Tom noticed that. And I thought the monsters were brilliant, proper classic Doctor Who brilliance, you know, with the skirt of the costume, with feet just slightly poking out of them, things like that. It just added to the whole charm of this. I thought, actually, it could have only been three episodes. I did feel that it went on just that. It went on
one episode
just a bit
less
too long.
Of Petra Troughton.
Episode two just was pretty much of a stand around, do nothing.
No,
episode.
Exactly. It lost its pace on episode two and then regained it again three and four. And it's like when we were watching the previous season where I just felt the three-parter shouldn't have been a three-parter, shouldn't have been a two-parter, that sort of thing. It was that. But that's me being picky. I thought as soon as Patrick Troughton was there, I was like, yes. love him to bits. And then William Hartnell, it's oh my god, everything was just fantastic. But I will be watching that again and probably again and probably again, to be honest, because it was so fun and it's one that I think that Isla will enjoy as well, so I'll be definitely reviewing that one.
Okay,
there you go.
Well, thanks to this being part of the journey, I got to see this in context, which I think makes all the difference. And knowing that it was a 10th anniversary piece, and you know, you forgive a lot in an anniversary piece, or in like the Christmas specials, anniversary specials, all that. No, few people played a character unless they're being comedic, because that's what brings the big audiences and everybody has a good time and everybody loves it. So it breaks my heart to see the Brigadier become what he did in this, which was a comedic foil, because I've seen him, you know, be so action oriented and, you know, one character that you really could believe in, you know, and now he's the stupidest guy on the set, which I didn't like. It made my heart glad to see Patrick Troughton again, and in fine form. Oh, when he came on, I missed the Second Doctor so much. I you know, this is one of those things where you don't know what you've got till it's gone.
Like the Brick says,
I liked him as much until he came back. Yeah. And then I realized how much I liked him. but yeah, I mean, everything was played for comedy. Everything was made to be very enjoyable. And so and those jelly baby monsters, I mean, you know, I could pick on everything, but I'm not picking on a single thing because it's an anniversary episode. And I see that, you know, in context now. And so that's all I have to say is it's an enjoyable anniversary.
Thank you. Well, that's quite good, really, wasn't it, Kirby? That particular.
Yes. Yes.
Right. Okay. Let's see if we've got any feedback. I think we haven't got any, to be fair. We'll have a look, nevertheless. Oh, we have. There wasn't anything earlier. Oh, Deb.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, what we're going to do, we'll do this bit first, so as you can just exercise your.
I love me, lips. Me. Omega.
Lips and mouth.
Do I
and
have
stuff?
To read it instead of Omega? I could be here for hours.
Hello, 20 Megawatt Podcast, this is Ian Kirk.
Yay.
The Three Doctors by Baker and Martin.
Yay.
We see the First Doctor again. He was back again at Christmas. The story seemed a bit dull. People are transported to Omega's world. He's destroying the universe. Omega is destroyed and everything is back to normal.
Well, for a while.
The red creatures were well done. Makers of the series have abandoned the idea of having the Doctor stuck on Earth.
Yeah.
Now.
Yes, Thank you. Ian Kirk, everyone. Go on, Deb. Do you want to, would you like me to increase the font? Or
possibly a good idea.
I don't know if I can actually do that, but I don't know how.
I'll just be looking, peering. Oh,
shut up, Magic.
Magic.
You kicked him up the backside. What do you expect him to do?
I didn't mean to.
Lucky you not have his teeth sunk into you.
Oh, no,
I'll see what
so
I can do for you.
Magic.
This is me trying, thinking, helping Deb out by doing... I don't know if you can do this. I'm going to try for you. Oh, that's not it. How do you increase the font?
That's okay, like that.
How is it?
It's a lot better than being the long
one. Move
it
over to the left hand side of the
cheers.
Screen so you can see it.
See if I can ruin this in one go.
Hang on, I'll make it like that. All right. Good luck.
Okay.
Oh, it's Alan T. Butcher, by the way.
As everybody knows. Pester me with trinkets, please do. Dear 20 Megabyters, the Three Doctors is, of course, a closely studied examination of the power of myth and legend within society and the strong tenet of neurolinguistic programming that the map is not the territory by visiting a world in which the map, in Omega's mind, is the territory. It also asserts that the false employment of legend, once undermined by reality, genuinely threatens the very fabric of society. It clearly shows that once the core of a legendary idea is lost, its influence may continue, but can ultimately become malignant. However, it offers the hope that by the combination of will and the introduction of a small element of reality, such hollow ideas can be comprehensively made defunct and everything can fall back into place. First paragraph. It should be
yes, well done.
It should be noted that this story marks the last known usage on mainstream TV of the modal contraction maint, as in I may call you Joe, maint I. Also, whilst many are somewhat critical of the Brigadier's sudden tendency during this period to refuse to believe anything despite all he has seen, I have to say his imaginative ideas in this story, which are clearly even less likely that what he is being told, show he has a very open mind. Furthermore, I am puzzled by those who think the Time Lord's melodramatic mode of speech is anything but appropriate for these super powerful hyperdimensional transtemporal beings. We also learn that the Peladonian Gobek started out as a low budget balloon utilizing astrophysicist, possibly Rose Tyler's grandfather. whilst legendary Time Lord Omega, who, as we know later, last week became a junior... last week became a junior research scientist at Cambridge before going to Amsterdam, started out as Big Azal from Deimos fan, who is clearly a major influence on him here. All in all, The Three Doctors is beautifully constructed and built up narrative with a poignant and very satisfying classic recorder from the force field denouement, with a rich seam of pathos from our hero's hero being both tricked and apparently ended by our hero. A perfect story and a perfectly gauged elucidation of the show's universe for a very special episode in the Doctor's lives. Wow. The Bristol Boys provide us, no doubt with Terence Dick's help, an original, exciting and perfect celebration without in any way watering down the vital strength of story so well delivered during this era. Finally, Stephen Thorne's performance in this story as Omega is one of the greatest performances in the show's history. Everybody says it's slightly different.
No, it's Omega.
Only challenged at all by Griff the Cook and, of course, Milo Clancy in the whole history of the show. Next up, Doctor Who, the zoo inspector, has Vorg bang to rights and Shirna puts her bangs on right. Those are my thoughts.
Shirna. Yeah, you're right.
Alan T. Butcher. There you go. Just got held up at the end.
Elucidation just falls trippingly off the tongue, doesn't it?
That's what she said.
I think she's keeling over next to you there.
All right, let's have a look now. Yes, what's his name? Kirby.
Yeah.
Is Carnival of Monsters new to you?
Not to me, no.
Yes, it is to me.
Watch out for the time, maybe. All right.
Too bad I can't join
Kirby
you.
Asked for some feedback. Paul Gobert said, I need to get back to doing some feedback. Then he said, I love this story overall. And my only issue is the antimatter creatures. Would have been nice to see more of William Hartnell, but I like how they worked around his illness. Troughton looks like he never stopped, and the banter between him and Pertwee is wonderful. Ian Kirk has always said, we've just done him. And then Kirby Butler, Sloan posted some for superfluous stuff, and that was it. Mm-hmm. That was it. Thanks, everybody, so interested in the Three Doctors.
Well, they only got an hour's shot.
I'm sorry, yes, it's not on. I'm going to go back and search Three Doctors from our past. Sorry.
Are these new questions, or are these questions from the last time?
You'll have to wait and see. I'm just going back through the history of our feedback to see what we got going back about the Three Doctors.
I have a feeling that Adam's been just as lazy as you and me, Kirby.
No, I haven't.
I've got no notes.
Got this from 2013.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk. The fireworks are a lot closer tonight. The Three Doctors by Baker and Martin. There is not a lot of plot to this story. A creature sent by Omega to capture the Doctor and mistakenly takes several other people as well.
And a water cooler.
There are 2.5 Doctors, as the first is trapped. The Doctors defeat Omega and everybody goes back where they belong. A senior Time Lord says they are pledged to protect the other races. I thought they never interfered. I can see why the actors and writers would have a lot of respect for William Hartnell, but this is crossed over into the script. The second and third Doctors defer to the first Doctor, who is actually the youngest.
Yeah.
On Earth, whenever new technology comes along, the wheel, gunpowder, the internet, a government's first thought is, how can this be used to protect the government? How come the Time Lords do not know about the future, sending messages back to themselves? The other thing is, they would not be limited to using just the first three Doctors. But never mind.
There's Ian Kirk, back in 2013.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, it's been that long.
Oh. Matthew Kressel.
Oh.
Sit back and...
Good morning, good evening, everyone. Sorry I couldn't be with you, but like Reese, unfortunately, real life has gotten in the way this week, so I'm afraid I can't join you. So, just like back in the good old days, I'm sending you in this piece of audio feedback on The Three Doctors. Now, The Three Doctors is a story that holds a very special place for me as a Doctor Who fan. Next week's selection, The Five Doctors, as I've mentioned before, was my first proper Doctor Who story. And this was my second proper story. And if The Five Doctors was the story that introduced me to Doctor Who and made me a fan, this is a story that solidified it. Certainly, the fact that I've subsequently become a big fan of the Pertwee era and a big fan of the Unity era, I suspect has a lot to do with this story, and also to a certain, maybe to a lesser extent, Five Doctors. But it is a good story, isn't it? And it firmly establishes kind of the formula for how you do multi-doctor stories, in that if you're going to bring them together, you have to have an event, something big enough to bring them together. You know, in real life, of course, it's going to be, you know, it's usually an anniversary year. Whereas in the, you know, but you have to have a story reason, a sort of a logical story reason. And The Three Doctors establishes this by having this event that is so colossal that it even threatens the Time Lords, to the point that the Time Lords have to bring the Doctors together. And that's part of the interesting thing of this story. I think what really is fantastic about this story is sort of the chemistry between Pertwee and Troughton and the way they kind of, they bicker with one another. Really the kind of jockeying for position almost at times. And that's, you know, and apparently in real life they got along, but when they did subsequent convention appearances, particularly in the 1980s, before Troughton sadly passed away, they continued that. And I think the story works because of that, but also the story also splits them up a bit to a certain extent. You know, particularly I think in episode 2, where, you know, the third Doctor ends up in Omega's universe, while the second Doctor is effectively working with UNIT. And I know that we were, Adam was talking last week about Nicholas Courtney and the Brigadier being dumbed down a bit. But I think actually that works very well here, and it plays well into the story. And I actually think performance-wise, this is one of Nicholas Courtney's best stories, at least, you know, because he's playing the comedy very well. And in fact, as Kirby may have pointed out, if he's had time to listen to the commentary, some of the Brigadier's lines in the story was improvised by Nicholas Courtney.
So, oh, really? Yeah, that, I don't remember
that. That's a fantastic bit of this story as well, is that the interplay between everybody. Also, Stephen Thorne as Omega.
And, Omega. You know,
yes, he's a bit over the top and a bit shouty, but I think he works effectively. And he's almost a tragic figure in a way. You know, he's, as he says, he's this guy who gave the Time Lords the ability to travel through time, but yet is trapped in this universe. And there's that wonderful exchange in episode 3 between the third Doctor and Omega, where the Doctor says, all my life I've looked up to you as our greatest hero, and Omega turns on and says, a hero? I should have been a god. the big twist towards the end with him, which gets me every time. And I remember it really surprising me the first time I watched this in 2007. And even now it still makes me sort of jump a bit, you know, when he takes that wonderful mask off and sees that there's absolutely nothing underneath. And the fact that he's in fact being kept alive entirely by the force of his own anger. And that he, you know, almost to a certain extent, can't quite accept the fact that he can't have a normal life again. Now, I would argue that Ian Collier, I think, maybe, who played Omega in Arc of Infinity and also Big Finish's Omega in 2003. And Omega is highly recommended, I have to say. Perhaps the better actor is Omega, but I think Stephen Thorne does a very good job here. And he also played Azal in The Demons, which we reviewed not that long ago as well. I've rambled on for a bit now, and I do apologize. I'm just going to say bye to everybody and hope everybody's doing well. Oh, and as always...
Oh, what?
So long, and thanks for all the fish. So sad that it should come to this.
Let's fade that out. Right. Yeah, so what else did we have from 2013? Obviously, that's the last time we did it. Oh, no, it wasn't. Did we do it more recently? No, we didn't.
As far as I know, we've only done it now
twice.
You've
not done it since I've been on.
You only went for 5 minutes, haven't you?
I've been on for a couple of years now, I think. Three?
Really that long?
Yeah.
Mm, you poor thing.
I know.
Okay, well, that'll be it for feedback. I might as well do a bit look back and see what people thought. With everyone else, it's now time for this week's edition.
This one, yeah.
This week's edition of You Won't Get This One.
I won't.
Yeah, you will.
No.
Oh, bless it. You see your notes with all that hair down
there. No.
Right then, Mary, who do you think is going to be ahead after the quiz part?
Kirby.
Right then, Kirby, who do you think is going to be ahead after the quiz part?
Me.
Right then, Debbie.
Yeah, Kirby.
Okay. Right then, Mary, who do you think is going to be at the bottom?
Me.
Really? I'll go along with that. Kirby, who do you think?
It's hard to say because I don't think it'll be Mary because we've done this at least once. Okay, so we will do Debbie.
I bet you will. Just hope Tom's not watching, otherwise there'll be all sorts of version on again going on. Debbie, who do you think?
Me.
Here's my notes. It's the target.
It's the book.
Which, by the way, do you think that Target would still do this? The last page says, if you enjoyed this book and would like to have information sent to you about other Target titles, write to the address below. You will receive a free Target badge.
Or just go to whoone.co.uk where you can...
Maybe you should. That'd be quite fun to do.
No, it's going to be awkward, isn't it, having all these windows open?
That'd be
pretty
right.
Cool multitasking, this is. Right, then, first question. Oh, I've got my questions up. See, anybody on the Facebook page, we're to see how Deb cheats. I've got the question. And how I struggle with one hand. Hang on. We've got to deduct 2 points from Kirby, haven't we? Right.
No. We were talking about deducting 2 points from you. He didn't lose any.
No, I did deduct 2 points from him prior to that, but I can't remember who it was.
No, you
thought.
Didn't.
Yes, I did.
I did.
Yeah, I did. Right, where's my pages page? Here it is, right, hang on. Three Doctors. First question goes to Mary.
Yes.
Where did the weather balloon land?
I know.
What a surprise.
You've got too many windows open.
Gosh, I don't know.
Do you reckon that's impacting on my Skype?
Because I think so, yeah.
Oh, let's see what windows I can shut down.
Shut down Google. Well, not Google, you know, Gmail.
That would bring the entire internet down.
Yeah, the internet comes down. Thanks, Debbie.
Where's my notes page? I shut down the notes page. No, it's not my notes page. It's got bloody answers on it.
Matter.
Look away from the screen. Look away from the screen now, Mrs. Melrose. Whose idea was it shutting down all these windows? I was dead.
I don't know. Why are you having to shut down windows? I thought you had the perfect computer.
Apparently impacting on the Skype thing.
That's a bit better.
She said I had too many windows open. This is a Mac.
I know, but it can do it sometimes.
Right. We got to the bit where Mary says she didn't know. I did play my jingle, but I've lost it now because Deb's got me to close down too many windows. Right. Did we play the...
Yes, we did.
We did. Right. So that's 1 point in the bonus pot. Right. And now it's Kirby who I think is going to come up with the answer.
The Innsbridge Wildlife Sanctuary.
Yes, I found that just a second too late.
You do sound a bit weird, Mary. It's got to be said, but I don't think it's done into...
Yeah, she's gone all fuzzy.
It's nothing to do with my computer.
No.
I can still hear you, though. Don't worry, Mary. It's fine. It's just you sound like Kirby used to sound like for the first 6 years of the podcast. It's not quite that bad.
No, I know, but that's what we used to say.
Right, next question eventually goes to Kirby. Kirby.
Master.
What colour mugs do Unit HQ use?
Joker.
Yeah.
TARDIS blue.
He's gone and watched listened to the previous version of this. Right, Debbie.
Yes.
What did the doctor stir his coffee
with?
Quiet! What did the doctor stir his coffee with?
I think I'm going to go Joker for this one, but I'm pretty sure it's a silicon rod. Yes!
Indeed. Right, bonus question. 1 point for this question. Who is the second person to disappear?
I know.
Go on.
Dr. Tyler.
Yeah, it's definitely gone back and listened to the previous version of this episode of this quiz. We didn't have a quiz in those days.
No.
I'll let you off, Kirby. Oh, yes, we did, because I've got the questions
here.
Quiz,
yeah.
We did, yeah. Okay.
Well, the first time you did
Yeah, we must have done. We must have done, because I've got questions here.
Oh, okay.
I have seen this story so many times, it's ridiculous.
Okay.
Mary.
Okay. Yes.
What colour headscarf does Mrs. Ollis wear?
Ollis?
Beige?
No, it's not beige, no. Anybody?
Blue?
That's the answer she was able to see.
I didn't know what was coming up.
Yeah, you didn't see it. No.
It'll be
interesting to see how this pans out now. That was Kirby's question, wasn't it? Was that Kirby's question?
No, that was
Mary's question.
That was Mary's question.
Right, this is Kirby's question. No, I'm only joking. Right, what law of time prevents the Doctor from meeting his other selves?
I can't have another Joker, can I?
No.
First.
Oop, I've just done a two up there. I'm just done a two here. Debbie.
Yes.
Oh, I've done that one. What Beatles song was quoted?
I know. Walrus Cooking.
Yeah, but what Beatles song was it? Bonus pot question, 1 point. What song does the second Doctor play on his recorder?
I know.
Go on.
Twinkle, twinkle, little star. Or Happy Birthday.
You knew it. Why didn't you blim an answer?
He said it before
I did. Alphabet song.
He said it before I did.
All right. What's her name again?
Mary.
Stop snoring, Star. What does Benton tell the brig that the second Doctor is? It's a tricky one for Mary.
Whose question is this?
What does Benton tell the Brigadier the second Doctor is?
I know.
A temporal anomaly.
Nope. Kirby knows, apparently.
The first one! Which I always was puzzled by that because the first one to Benton, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah. Kirby.
Master?
That's just clever writing. What, according to the Time Lords, have Joe and the Third Doctor passed over to enter the black hole?
Horizon. It's the...
I think I know this one.
Absolute Event Horizon.
Yeah, there you go. Because it was more than an event horizon. It was the absolute event horizon. Yeah.
Debbie.
Yes.
No, I've lost where I was. All right. Oh, I still lost where I was. All right. What object do the Doctor and Joe find first?
Is it the water cooler?
Yes, it is. Bonus point for this question. Sorry. Where does Jo want the Doctor to take her in Bessie?
I think.
Go on. I think Deb started saying, I think I know before you said I know. Debbie.
Around the block?
Can't give it for that one.
Never mind. Kirby. What were you going to say, Kirby?
Twice around the park.
Fair enough. That's what I was going. More I accurate. Think I know.
More accurate. Yeah. Right, I suppose we better have a score update. In last place, with no points, it's Mary. In second place with 9 points, it's Debbie, and in the lead, surprise, surprise, with 13 points, it's Kirby. Next question goes to Mary.
Yes.
Who, according to the Brigadier, wants an explanation from the Second Doctor? You won't get this one.
I know. I won't get that one. I'll pass on it.
Hang on, I've got to put a point in the bonus spot. Kirby, yes, you
the
said
Security
you...
Security Council.
Missed my bell. Okay, Debbie. Oh, sorry, Kirby. Kirby.
Master.
What does the Brigadier say when he first enters the TARDIS?
So this is what you've been doing with Unit 5.
Yeah. I do love that.
Debbie.
Yes.
Complete the Shut up, Star. Complete the soldier's exclamation. Blank, blank, what's that?
Blankety, I know.
Blank. See, this is a homage to the theme tune to this quiz.
No idea.
Okay, that's a... Which goes into... I put 10 in the bonus spot. That's actually 2. Kirby knows.
Holy Moses!
Debbie.
I brought that up.
What was my question? Right. Bonus spot.
An hour ago.
Bonus spot question. 2 points for this.
Come on, Mary!
What are Omega's first words?
I think I know.
Go on, Em.
I'm not quite sure.
Yeah.
Anyone else want to try?
Go on.
Nope.
At last, a Time Lord within my power.
That's what I was going to go for.
Go for it then.
Well, he'd already said he had it, so it's fine.
Mary.
Yes. Just proving that my notes from last time are
fine. Who does the Brigadier call on the radio from within the TARDIS?
Oh.
I think I know.
I don't know.
Hang on. Kirby said he knows. I'm just putting a point in the bonus spot while I remember. Right. Kirby?
Palmer is... What is he? Corporal? Corporal Palmer.
That'll do, yes. And
Kirby's
Kirby.
Kirby.
Yeah, master. Yes.
What pun of Omega's makes the Doctor wince?
Is that a pun? I don't remember.
Ooh. I'm glad that's happened. Right, so there's 2 points in the bonus spot. Anybody?
No idea.
No, in that case.
Omega makes a pun?
Yeah.
No.
Pay attention. The answer is mind over antimatter.
Oh, I had that written down. But I didn't know anybody.
Debbie.
Yes.
What did Time Lord history tell of Omega? What they said happened to him in time? It's basically, what did Time Lord history say what happened to Omega? I can't say it in English that
was
I understand.
I'm not sure about this one. Was he sucked into a black hole?
No. Anybody?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. It was. Hang on. I'll read it out because I'm trying to fiddle around with these things. Right. The answer was Lost in a Supernova. Sounds like a title to a song, doesn't it? Well,
yes.
Sword, then.
Lost in a Supernova.
Oh, it's a bonus spot. Sorry, bonus spot question. There's 5 points in the bonus spot question.
Come on, Mary!
Keep your ears open for this one. Here we go. Where does the Brigadier think they've landed?
I know.
I didn't even bother saying I know.
Why didn't you? You're a silly woman.
Because I knew he was going to say it.
Say the answer, you silly one, right?
The beach at Cromer. wherever Cromer is.
You had a chance there, Deb.
In Norfolk.
Norfolk.
Careful how you say that. We have young viewers and listeners to this show.
I said it with an appropriate accent, sorry.
Okay, right. So next question goes to Mary. Oh, score update. In last place with no points is Mary. Second place with 9 points is Debbie. In the lead, 25 points. It's Kirby. Mary.
I expected Mary to do better than this.
Stop picking on it.
No, I'm using the notes from last time, which are turning out to be rubbish.
Mary.
Yes?
What is at the center of the black hole?
I think I know.
Wow. I'll find it as soon as somebody else answers it, so I'm passing.
Right, Kirby says he thinks he knows.
The singularity. Although it really is a fan with some dry ice under it.
Oh, shut up. Debbie.
It's Kirby's question.
Oh, Kirby.
Master.
What are Omega's closing words of episode 3?
Those who oppose the will of Omega shall not live.
You missed two words.
Destroy him.
He had to stand up to act the part.
there was a cobweb hanging from the light.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it's Debbie's question.
Yes.
What is the only freedom that Omega seeks?
Life?
No. Anybody?
No.
Oh, that's funny. Is that a no?
Yeah, it was a no.
Wow. Power is the answer.
Oh, of course.
3 points in the bonus pot. How can Omega's world exist?
Through the sheer will of his mind.
He has control.
Not how it was in the script. It was, no, right. It's another 2 points into the bonus pot.
What was Mary saying?
Sorry, what were you saying, Mary?
I said he has control of the singularity.
I'm going to give you that, even though it's not quite. I'm going to give you that. Yeah, that's for 4 points to that. Yeah, well, Mary, the answer that I got written down, because you used the word singularity, which is quite important to the answer, the actual answer was the phenomenon of singularity. So I'm going to give you that. Because
okay, yeah, that's good.
So the other thing I'm going to give you is, of course, this.
Right. The weirdest notes, things that are just there with no, you know, no connections or references, and so when people make answers, it's like,
Joker,
I know, that's right
answer.
Here, but I have no idea.
Right, okay, next question goes to Mary.
Yeah.
Right. What colour was the door conjured up by the doctors?
I'm going to guess blue.
Oh, okay. She's on a roll.
I've got a roll in the fridge, actually. Buttered roll. If you want it.
That sounds
Kirby.
Master.
What does the second doctor ask Omega to conjure up?
A recorder.
Yes.
And Debbie.
Yes.
What does the second doctor say when Omega has his tantrum?
I know.
No idea.
I'm just putting a point in the bonus part, and then Kirby can give me the answer, which is...
I told you he had no self-control.
Okay. Yeah. Bonus part. 1 point in the bonus part. How many recorders did the third doctor promise to get the second doctor?
Hundreds of recorders. Thousands of recorders.
That'll do.
Yay!
Thousands, yes. Yeah. Well, essentially you
said he starts off going, hundreds of recorders, thousands of recorders. Yeah.
Right, okay. In last place with 6 points is Mary. In second place with 10 points is Debbie. And in the lead with 31 points is Kirby. Mary's question. Who is the last person to enter the TARDIS when they all go in to hide? So who's the last person to enter the TARDIS
I think I know that one.
I'm going to make a guess that it's Benton.
All right, that
That's wrong. So I pointed to the bonus spot. Debbie knows, apparently.
I think it's the third Doctor, because the Brigadier's trying to be the last one in, but he's, you know, he takes answer. It.
Kirby.
Master.
That's where I was on there. Ah, right. There we go. How is the second Doctor's recorder going to save them?
Because it's matter versus the antimatter.
Very wish you got that one. Debbie.
Yes.
Who enters the light stream first to return to Earth?
I know.
Benson.
Hang on.
Oh, yeah.
Kirby knows.
Rose's granddad, Dr.
Yeah.
Tyler.
Yeah, Dr. Tyler. Yeah. Whoops.
And there's 2 points in the bonus pot. And this is the question. What are Omega's last words?
You pester me with trinkets?
Curses, I thought someone was making it wrong. Right. Right, so on, just goes down to zero, and his goes up to that.
Oddly, I've not seen the second story that Omega's in.
3 questions left.
Oh.
And the first one of the 3 questions goes to Mary. Mm-hmm. What was the second Doctor's leaving words?
I know.
What a surprise.
Don't know.
And no point putting in the bonus pot. McKirby?
Goodbye. It's been so nice to meet me.
All right, I'll give you 2 points because I can't put it in the bonus pot. Right.
My
Kirby.
God.
Pasta.
Where does the dematerialization circuit materialize?
On top of the time rotor.
Debbie.
Yes. That's you.
She's allergic to my quiz.
Yeah.
What is Ollis's first name?
I know.
Mister.
Point for comedy reasons.
4 point for comedy reasons, she has.
Kirby.
Yes.
Kirby.
Arthur.
There we go. Right, so that's it. Although there's still a point available, which I'm not going to play, because Mary actually still had a joker unplayed, so you have to deduct 4 points for that. No, no, I'm going to cut her a break. Not deduct any points.
I don't need breaks. I'm already at the bottom.
Won't make much difference to the scores. Right then, so yeah. Mary predicted Kirby to be ahead, and then predicted Mary to be at the bottom. Kirby predicted Kirby to be ahead.
I know my own mind.
And then predicted Debbie to be at the bottom, which is quite an interesting scenario, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? Yes. Right. Debbie predicted Kirby to be ahead.
And I predicted herself Mary to be at the bottom.
Turns out my notes were just rubbish.
The final scores are, in joint last place, with 24 points each, it's Debbie and Mary, for the winner this week with 82 points. Biggest score ever.
Yeah.
That's Kirby.
Have we not nearly got into the hundreds before? Wow.
What are the next stories? Because I'm not, I can't
Carnival of Monsters, goodbye. My theme tune's playing. Doctor Who News.
Master.
No, maybe not.
It's going to be at least 3. And you guys make a note of this. It's going to be at least 3 stories before I will get anywhere close to that sort of things. I can't. I would probably do pretty good for Carnival of Monsters.
Before you get close to what?
82.
Yeah.
And you can find that excuse in Reese Buffett's latest book of excuses.
Because of
Reese
the Parton, eclipse.
Sorry.
And 3. I've never seen Planet of the Daleks. I've never or Frontier in Space. And so the next one that I'm familiar with is Green Death.
Right, moving on. Doctor Who News.
Mm-hmm.
A happy centenary, Earl Cameron. So today marks 100th birthday of the actor Earl
Cameron. Tuesday the 8th, yeah.
Yeah, all right, thank you. He appeared in the 1966 story, The Tenth Planet, playing Glyn Williams. Oh, bless him.
Yeah.
It's rather topical, isn't it?
Yeah, two astronauts on the
show. Oh, my.
Yes.
Yeah, he was on the American actor. Was he actually American, though? Oh, he was born in Bermuda. So there you go. Oh, bless him. He's 100.
Wow.
And he's got a little thing from the Queen.
Commander of the Order of the British Empire, CBE, in the 2009 New Year Honours.
Oh, how lovely. Jodie Whittaker has told of the excitement of being cast as the Doctor on some BBC radio
station. Radio 6, yeah. No, she's been actually talking about how many people have been cosplaying as her already. It's been great. There's been gender cosplaying, gender opposite cosplaying as well. It's been fantastic.
Of course, we already spoke about Harold Bennett passing last night. So that's it for news, really. Not much going on.
Candy Jar Books will be launching a short story competition for their Lethbridge Stewart series. So that should be good.
Not a lot of Doctor Who news at the moment.
Until they come up with a with a real costume for her, she's easy to do.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But that's sort of the next thing. Thing they've got to reveal, you know, keep us going, is the new costume. But we won't really get to see it until next autumn.
Yeah. You see. I'm trying to work out who to cosplay as to the Comic Con.
Whowon.co.uk has some.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
Yeah.
Shot glasses. I think I might have to get them.
Ooh.
I'm partial to the odd shot.
Mm.
Yes. So the one of the shot glasses has a Dalek in it. The other of the shot glasses has the TARDIS.
£6.99. Oh, I like those.
Mm. Yes. Also, you can get the TARDIS keyring bottle opener. They're really catering for
Dalek keyring
for Andy Nunney with the new
Dalek keyring bottle opener.
Yep. You said TARDIS. It's a Dalek.
Yeah, it's a Dalek. And the tenth TARDIS. Doctor in a tuxedo. No, you said TARDIS.
I did. That's what I meant to say.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Why? Because it's a Dalek keyring.
I know. I said it. I got it. Anyway, right.
We're nearly done.
Doctor Who magazine, a special 47, referencing. Can you do it? My mouth's gone.
DWM special 47 referencing the Doctor. There was a lot of assumed fact around Doctor Who, as no one had ever taken the trouble to find out what the real facts were, apparently.
10th Doctor in tuxedo figure. Why do we need that?
Because we do.
Why not?
But don't we need more of the 12th Doctor? And perhaps even the 13th stroke 14th Doctor? Or even the 13th
I would mind a few more bits of the War Doctor. I've got hardly any.
Oh, I've got my War Doctor up now.
I'm waiting for a 9th Doctor. I haven't, 9th Doctor Titan. Hopefully.
Coming soon on whowon.co.uk is a 12th Doctor.
Wait, you missed the Dalek Oven Club.
We talked about it last time.
The 12th Doctor's new sonic screwdriver.
We talked about it last time.
Faster.
Oh, what?
I mean, it's got a thumb on it, so it wouldn't fit on either a sucker or
a whisk. 2018 annual. You can get for £7.99. Blood Furnace, Seventh Doctor Big Finish story. Classic Doctor's New Monsters 2, which is that an audio? It is, Big Finish.
Yeah, it's five discs, yeah.
Featuring a few of the Doctors. Doorway to Hell, so like a comic thing. And high price of parking.
We talked about that 7th, one last week, yeah.
Mavellian Grave, blah, 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 blah. So yeah, lots of new CDs of Big Finish stories that you can get from whowon.co.uk, among loads of other things like toys, gifts.
Oh, fantastic.
So, I will show the viewers. Get that off there without breaking it, Deb, please.
What?
My newest acquisition. Oh. You can get these at whowon. Pretend I've got it from whowon. That means I've got to go in a minute. And now the phone's quick, answer it, Deb. Quick.
It's the iPhone.
Just answer it.
It's not letting me smile
through
answer.
Oh, here we go. Get in. Hello.
We're just finishing.
Well, it's not 9 yet. I'll be departing in about 5 minutes. So have you finished then? Yeah. Okay, I'll be departing in 5 minutes, yes. Yes, about half an hour, dear, yes. Yes, about half an hour, love, yes. See you in a minute. Bye. Right, we're nearly done. Put that over there.
Finish up very quickly.
Yes, we do. I did tell her we'd finish at 9. Right, there we are. This is the TARDIS. Oh, well, that's not a TARDIS eraser. It's the TARDIS desk tidy.
Oh,
where
it's wonderful.
You can keep all your sonic screws. It's got a little door at the front as well. It's made of wood.
Oh, I love it.
Made of wood.
Oh, that's so cool.
And these are £14.99 from whowon.co.uk.
I need that on my desk.
Yeah, we saw that on a video about 2.5 hours ago.
Here, I'll put it back.
Don't break it,
I won't break it.
Crack. My latest acquisition. So these items you can get from whowon.co.uk.
That's gorgeous.
And if you wanted to get a particularly good scarf, like the one I've got in the background there, hanging off my coat hanger, is lavazi.co.uk.
The door opens.
Be quiet! Where you can buy lots of lovely Doctor Who items, like the the Fourth Doctor's normal scarf, the Tour Doctor's Series 18 scarf, the beautiful question mark jumper of the Seventh Doctor. I could go on and on. But,
okay, when are we going to record next?
Next Sunday.
Hang on, I've got to check my diary first, thank you, Mrs. Melrose.
Sorry.
Because I can't make it next
week.
That's
busy.
I could do next Sunday.
That's busy. In
I can't. Theory.
Hey?
He can't.
I know, you said
he
that.
He can't.
Don't die. It's like Adam can't either.
So if you want me and... Deb and Andy, I guess it'll have to be next Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
if you do any other day, it won't be.
We'll do it the 27th.
So he's actually looking at his diary. He's
can do it,
really
but I've got
busy.
a much freer on the 27th. Okay, a much give freer.
That would be good for me because
give
then
I
you're not on call that week, are you, Mary?
What day is the 27th?
Sunday.
Oh, yeah, no. Actually, I was on call today.
Oh,
I could see your scrubs were on. I was like, oh, no, we're going to lose her. No. Oh,
yeah, I got back about 10 minutes before the recording.
Oh, you didn't have time to have a shower or anything. Oh, we're so mean.
Master?
Yes.
There's a slight possibility I can't make it that day, but I won't know until for a few more days.
Well, we'll definitely record that day.
Yes.
So I think I can.
Okay. Well, in that case, thank you for listening to the show and watching it on Facebook, if indeed you did. See you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Carnival of Monsters.
Carnival of Monsters.
Like us.
Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye, Fancy Pants.
Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.